Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome all of you who are listening over the internet. We're glad to have you here. We're glad to have you, the people from Singapore and the people from India and the people from New Zealand. And I'm going to cover that area tonight and our new people in our new pod in Hawaii. So we want to welcome you all to listening to this time together, and we're going to be thinking in terms of you are a seed. And the scripture I'm going to use is found in the 8th chapter of Luke, the 5th through the 15th verses. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rocks, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown." When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." There, by the way, Jesus was quoting Isaiah 6:9. This is the meaning of the parable, Jesus told them. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Now this message about you are a seed is going to look at some of this scripture in a little different way than you may have heard it before. Some will seem very familiar, and some I will bring out some things here that perhaps may cause you to think a bit. Jesus, when he told the parable of the sower, set in motion several layers of understanding of the scriptures. And you've heard me say before that the scriptures very much are like the layers of an onion. And you first understand one layer, and then just as you think you've arrived, suddenly you find there's another layer. And then as soon as you think you've arrived there, you suddenly find there's yet another layer. Jesus told this parable to everyone present, and each person receives spiritual food from the position they currently occupied in their spiritual life. And what they could understand, that's what they were able to receive. So, a seed has little or no ability to determine where it falls. When it falls, it falls. Therefore, is planted, and it has very little choice about where it's planted. The outcome of a seed and its germination are dependent upon where it is. We're the same. We are to grow and produce where we are planted or spiritually dispatched. Now, what do I mean there? You may be planted one place, but the Lord may speak to you at some time and send you to another location, send you someplace else, just in the same way as one of our pastors has moved from one of the states on the mainland to start a new work in Honolulu, Hawaii. Because he's been dispatched there. He knows this in his heart. He knows the Spirit spoke to him and he went there. So he's moved there to be planted there and there to develop a crop. Insight as to the challenges of life can be seen and examples of what Jesus said happens to the non-husbanded seed, we must allow the Holy Spirit to husband us and to tell us where to take root. Along the path, Jesus said, the seed was trampled and eaten by birds of the air. But you see, if we're planted along a path, we can step where we're not going to be trampled on. And we can move from where the birds or the prince and the power of the air could devastate us. On a rock was one of the other locations. It withered and died with no moisture. That would sort of be like no baptism. Never being baptized in water or in the Holy Spirit. Among thorns and get choked out by unbelievers, by those people who point their fingers at us and tell us that we're stupid for believing this or that, or they think we're silly, and so you could become a little reluctant to mention that you believe in Jesus the Christ. But those are choices that we can make. Now, the seed of a plant just has to go wherever it's sown, wherever it's tossed. But we, on the other hand, can realize where we are, and we can move to where we can grow. And that's our responsibility to do so. Then he talked about on good soil. We can move ourselves to good soil, or we can just determine that we ourselves will be bad soil and the seed will not germinate within us. On good soil, it yields a hundredfold crop. It's watered, encouraged, and nourished. That's where we need to be. We need to be watered, encouraged, and nourished. And then as we develop a crop, we need to be doing what? We need to be watering, encouraging, and nourishing. Do you have ears? Are you able to listen, and are you teachable? Do you do what you hear is to be done? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, regular exposure to the Word of God. It's just not the one time when we accept Christ, but we must have regular exposure, regular nutrition, be regularly fertilized by the Word of God. We, unlike other seeds, are able to repair our conditions wherever we are. It is not the conditions in which we find ourselves, but how we respond to conditions which determines our growth toward the harvest. Our life's purpose is to grow a harvest and do this as worshipers of God. Do you understand that our harvest is a part of our act of worship with our lives? It's a part of worship. Now remember, Jesus' disciples asked Jesus about this. And he said that the secrets are yours. And you know, the secrets are, he told them the secrets were theirs, and the secrets are ours too. If we will ask for them to be revealed, Jesus will do that. He didn't hesitate. When his disciples asked, Jesus did not hesitate to explain his words to his disciples. The Word tells us that we have the mind of Christ. And if there's something we don't understand, then what we need to do is we need to go to the throne and say, the Word says we have the mind of Christ. Give us that understanding in this regard or that regard or whatever is challenging us. He even explained the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, he said. They've been given to all believers now, but to others, he says, he speaks in parables so that they, seeing, may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. How many times in any person's life has something come up, and you saw it, and you heard it, but you really didn't see it, and you really didn't understand it? Because we may only be willing to accept what we're willing to accept. But in the kingdom of God, we must be willing to accept all that He has for us. And we have the mind of Christ, so we can have understanding of anything. All we need to do is go to the throne and say, the Word says, I have the mind of Christ because I'm a believer. Give me the mind of Christ on this issue. And watch Him respond. He loves it when people come to the throne and ask. We're to seek. We're to ask. And we will receive, we're told. true understanding comes via a regularly cultivated relationship with Christ. We must regularly be with Him. We must cultivate the relationship with Him, and He will cultivate us. Believers have been given the gift of understanding. That is a gift from God. If you're a believer, then you have that gift. If you're a believer, what is that? A believer is one who trusts in and relies on Jesus the Christ. If you do this, you can understand. Now, your soil is the key. You have control over yourself, where you grow, and what you allow to grow in you. Your soil is your choice. The quality of the seed you are will depend upon how you nourish it, and how you allow it to be nourished, how much you seek. Seek and you will find. Then comes, what seeds do you plant? Because you're not always just going to be the seed. Although you are a seed, at some point you must produce seeds. You must plant seeds. Jesus made it clear that a seed that survives the knocks of life yields a harvest. When believers are transformed from this existence to their reward, they are expected to have a harvest for the kingdom. Now, what do I mean when a believer is transferred from this existence? I mean when you go to be with the Lord. When you're taken from this temporal life and you're taken into the heavenly life with Him. You see, we're expected to have a harvest for the kingdom when we're transferred from this existence to the next. I remember that a comment was made by Oral Roberts when his wife Evelyn died. And he was standing at her casket and he made the statement, "I have just planted my best and dearest seed." He wasn't upset that she was gone. Oh, yes, he missed her. But this was something that was dear to him. And he was willing to let her go because the Lord had taken her up. But notice when we look at things, notice here the word yields. Yields a harvest. When believers produce, they must yield or give away, gift, in other words, some of themselves to produce seeds that will, in turn, grow healthy and produce a hundredfold crop. It is then believers will reap a reward of blessing. Now, this is not the reward of salvation. Salvation is a free gift. But once we are in the kingdom, we want to reap a reward of blessing. We want to produce a crop a hundredfold. We want to show ourselves as good and faithful servants of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So I say to you, grow, and then go, and then plant, and raise a crop for Christ. A crop that is His crop, as His Spirit works through you. You are a seed that grows to a mature plant, and then you plant seeds, and you water those seeds, and you nourish those seeds, and you tend those seeds, so that you have for your Lord a harvest when you're called home, or maybe you'll just meet Him in the air because He'll come while you're still living in this life. But how great would it be to have a harvest? We are His harvest. And we can take a harvest with us. How great would that be? To nourish others. To tend them. To cultivate them. So we're to go and we're to grow and we're to bring Him the gift of a harvest a hundredfold. My, what an exciting thing. Think about that. Not empty-handed. Oh, we might develop a callus or two on our hands, maybe even a blister or two in the process. Sometimes that happens when you're cultivating a garden. Have you noticed how many things in Scripture involve a garden? We start in a garden, and then we find ourselves being seeds in the spiritual garden that is Christ's. And then we find ourselves planting seeds in a spiritual garden, which is our section of Christ's garden. So you see, my friends, you are a seed, and seeds have seeds come from them. That's what they do. That's our purpose in life, and it is an act of worship. It is an act of worship. That's my message to you in this session. You are a seed. And when you develop seeds, that's an act of worship. And when you tend them and let them grow so they can develop seeds, that's an act of your worship and an act of their worship. And worship goes on and on and on. So, my friend, if you've never accepted Christ, but you say, I would like to be one of his seeds, I would like to have him cultivate me in his garden, all you need to do is ask. You say, Heavenly Father, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I give myself to him. I am his. Amen. If you pray that prayer, my friends, you're in. You're in the kingdom of the blessing. You're in the kingdom of the blessing of the garden. If you've maybe slipped a little bit along the way and you say, well, you know, I've prayed that prayer, but I haven't been all I can be. My friend, move yourself to some fertile soil. You become fertile. You develop seeds. Draw close to him. He'll draw close to you. He said he would. He promises he would. If you need help with that, just contact me, the Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. We'll be glad to work with you and help with you and help you and talk to you and nurture you, fertilize you a little bit, let you hear the Word of God, let you grow in the Word of God, and let you bring forth seeds as well. So, my friends, as I say, that's our time together in this session. And I say this in closing. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.